Hey gang, welcome back. This is We Watch Stuff 136. I'm Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Doing okay. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves.
Real quick, I saw on your Facebook, what are you talking about with your student loans? This guy from Howard?
Oh, I was on Twitter and I was wondering, like, who's this guy that they're talking about? They're making these jokes regarding financial aid. Like, I saw it early in the day and I wasn't paying any mind. And then I got an email from the president of Howard saying, you know, recent inquiries were made regarding financial aid and we found a few people, blah, 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 did this and that. Six people got fired. So then I put two and two together. So apparently this student somehow finagled like 430 grand of financial aid. Wow. And he's basically using that to, like, you know, buy fur coats and, yeah, it's kind of... It was like a movie. Like, it was like Van Wilder or something like that. And he finally got caught. So people make jokes. And it's kind of like, yeah. I felt a certain way about that, just considering every time I put down almost $1,400 a month on my student loan payments, and this guy was riding around with a free MacBook and a pink fur coat. Like, he's the godfather.
So... What are you more upset by? The fact that he's getting away with it, or the fact you didn't think of it?
I mean, that joke would be funny if I wasn't paying what I was paying, but it's just funny just thinking about all the people, especially like an HBCU thing, where it's like such a hassle to get financial aid and dealing like the financial aid office, and we ran out of money, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and it's some guy that probably drive around in like a damn Benz. Because he kept getting like, oh, such and such Mary Berry fund, 60 grand. Oh, I don't know how he got it 4 years in a row. Like, how did that slide through is the thing that kind of got me. Like, I'm not blaming him because it's like, you know, you do the crime, if you can get away with it, whatever. His fault was he was too flashy. He didn't get away with it and he got greedy. My thing is like, how did nobody catch that?
Has he never seen a movie as well? Every time you make a big score, you don't flash your money around. That's how you don't get caught.
Yeah, that's why criminals are criminals.
Yeah. Well, that's
like the smart ones. The smart ones are the ones that you never hear about, or the ones that they name schools after when they go straight. But that was what my post was about. Because it was funny. Whereas most Twitter things, you see jokes and you don't put it together. I'm like, who's this guy they're talking about? And I kept seeing it here and there, but I didn't really do any research. I was at work, and then I got the email from Howard. And then I went back and searched the guy, and it was like, oh, they're talking about him. how about that? So, yeah.
Yep. That's what you get for going to school. So, we kind of glossed over. If you don't mind repeating it, obviously you don't have to. How much are you paying for school loans a month?
I am paying right now $1,371.
Holy shit.
Per month.
Now, see, I didn't go to... I went to a state school, so, you know, make your jokes. But that was like a semester when I went to school. Kevin will differ on this because he's out of state. But was that a year? So whenever I hear about these things about with, like, school loans and that, I just go, what the hell happened? Because the education's no different. You're still learning shit.
Yeah.
And it's actually shouldn't have gotten cheaper. Because email and everything else, the electronic age, you don't have to actually have anything.
This is why the next time you hear some old man bragging about he went to school and he was able to pay for it with his job on the side, you should punch him in the face. It's like, yeah, it's school prices jumped like, what, 1,000%? And it's not like his salary jumped 1,000%.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. Yeah, like education hasn't changed. It's cost a lot more. And you make a lot less relatively speaking. And at least for me, it's like I don't mind. Like I mind a little bit, but at least I can afford it. As weird as that sound like.
Well, you're fortunate you can afford it.
Yeah, like I had a job field where it's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna owe this amount of money, but I'll be able to pay it off and like still live comfortably. It's people that owe that much and they come out of school making 35 grand if they're lucky. So imagine you owe that and you couldn't afford it. Like it's a reason why student loan debt is such a big issue, because it's like, why I'm going to college if I'm gonna basically be a slave to a job till I'm 70.
Well, not even a job. You're a slave to a government. Because those, those are all government-backed loans, right?
No, no, no. If your luck, mine was government-backed loan. Like, I'm a lucky one where mine is government, so the interest rate is kind of stable and stuff. It's a fraud, but number people that's private, and they really get boned where sometimes the loans just get lost, the numbers just get changed. At least for mine, like, I'm federal, and it's all government, and I work for a government job, so after like a certain time frame, they'll pay the rest off because of the job I have. If you got private, it's kind of like you at the mercy of whatever Sallie Mae and Freddie Mac used to be, and imagine it's like, oh yeah, I know your interest rate was 4%, but nah, we're gonna jump it up to 11, good luck. It's not a damn thing to do about it. It's like, maybe I need to move to Mexico and start selling meth.
Just leave. Well,
it's a reason why people go on default. It's like, I can't pay this, so I'm not gonna pay it. Dude, tomorrow we'll garnish your wages. I'm like, at the end of Rocky Five, sue me for what? I don't got nothing.
Yeah, like, good luck with that one. That's why, when I was going through my divorce, the credit cards would call because I just stopped paying, and I couldn't afford it. I should back that up, but they're always like, well, if you want to make this payment, I'm like, okay, look, if I could, don't you think I'd do this instead of have to deal with this hassle? So you want to try and take, like, garnish my wages, that's not really going to help matters. Because the little I make is a drop in the bucket? If that's even an appropriate way of saying it. I wish I could give the proper credit, but the joke was the credit card companies would call the guy, or any sort of loan, would call this comedian. And he would say, they would ask, well, how much can you pay on this? And he'd be like, well, if I could pay it, then I would, whatever. And the guy goes, well, how about $20? And he just stops to explain, see, $20 to me right now is everything. $20 to you on this debt is nothing. And I understand you're paying way more, $20.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd still just be like,
yeah, it's all about... It's relatively speaking, and it's people tend to forget that. That's why when I get annoyed sometimes when I see people like Warren Buffett or like Bill Gates saying, you know, if I made like doubling your income doesn't really have that much effect. It's based on how you live. I'm like, yeah, for you, if you're worth $60 billion and you go from 60 to 120, it's not going to matter that much. And if you go down from 60 to 30, it won't really matter that much. If you make it 30 grand and you go to 60 grand, that could change your damn life.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like it will change your life. Like if I double what I made, I wouldn't be doing stunt granny and watch stuff no more. I'm like, Jeremy who? I'm busy on a boat. Like, see you when I see you. But
all right.
I'm just saying, it's kind of like, it's relatively speaking where, you know, you don't think about stuff mattering until it matters. And so you thought, oh, well, you know, maybe if you didn't have Netflix, you could be able to afford health insurance. I'm like, that's not how finance
works. You're kidding, right? I'd be like, well, you know how much Netflix is, right? You know how much, all I went to the doctor. It's, oh, God, we're getting totally off guard already. But anyways, or off topic. I went to the doctor for the flu for a few weeks ago, or back in January, whatever it was. And all I did was walk in. They told me to put on one of those masks. I sat in the office. The guy, they swabbed my nose, which is just, why in this day and age are we swabbing stuff still? Where's our Star Trek technology, first off? Not to get onto an aside, but God damn. And then he comes in, is like, yep, you have the flu. Here's some prescriptions, which I had to pay for, and that was it. $430. And I just went, what? I can get a, you know, one of the cranky massages for less than that and get actual pleasure out of that thing. Like, that's ridiculous. So to say, tell me I don't, not to have Netflix. Well, cool. If I don't have Netflix for how, I don't even know what's 1042, let's say $420 was a bill, 42 months. Like, just shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't have that self, if you didn't mess around with your iPhone, you'd be able to afford a house. I'm like,
no.
It's, you know, people who've never been in a supermarket in 15 years say dumb shit like that. So I don't know how, I know how we got in that damn wheelhouse and that black hole, but it's kind of like, yeah, that's what that post was about. And I would just say, go to school if someone else pays for it. Otherwise, get a job, learn a trade. Do not go, like, don't listen to what your granddad said about how education will set you free. It's like, it depends on the education. You got to make sure you are financing the right way, because you do not want to be a slave to debt for your whole life. You know what it reminds me of? And quick aside, what we talk about, did you see Hell or High Water?
No.
So it was like the bank robbing movie with, who was in there?
Chris Pine, right?
Yeah, it was Chris Pine, Jeff Bridges, and the guy that always plays crazy white guys. Ben Foster.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, there's two. Giovanni Ribisi is the other one, but yeah.
Yeah, and it was something like, I liked it, but it was kind of like, it was something that bothered me a little bit. I liked it because the whole point of the movie was basically, they were doing what they were doing. It wasn't like a get rich thing. It was more like, poverty has, they've been, like, their whole family for generations and generations been a slave to poverty their whole life. Like, they were poor, their father was poor, his father was poor, like, all they know is crippling poverty and how it's affecting them. And Chris Pine's whole plan was kind of like, I don't, like, it's even not about me. I want to make sure my children doesn't have to worry about poverty anymore, so they can actually live life and not be a slave to, like, debt. And it wasn't like he was the good guy in the movie, anything like that, because it was kind of like they didn't play like, you know, he was robbing her or anything like that, even though it was kind of like doing a noble thing, because, one, it was still a criminal thing. Two, his brother was like a madman, and they kind of made it out that way. And the way the movie ends is kind of, you thinking Jeff Bridges is going to shoot him at the end, because it's like, yeah, you know, he's a bad guy that did a good thing, but he's still a bad guy.
Yeah.
But kind of framed in a way where it's kind of like, yeah, you can understand where it's coming from and everything like that. But the one thing I was thinking about watching that movie was, it would look a lot different if the characters were black. Because I've noticed that with, like, white movies, like, poverty is a frame for, it's like the Robin Hood thing. You rob from the rich, you know, give to the poor, and you're trying to be your own man, and like those gangster movies and stuff like that. Like The Godfather is kind of glorified because, like, you know, I'm not going to be a slave. I'm not going to be a sucker for somebody else. I'm going to be my own man, and it's glorified. But when it's other people, it's like these are monsters of society and they got to be stamped out. And that's kind of bothered me, like how that frame, like just movie wise, because it's like real life thing too. I get mad when I see people bragging about, oh, you know, I got a cannabis farm now in California. I used to be a soccer mom, and now I'm worth eight figures because I got the best weed in San Jose. And meanwhile, it's people doing 10 years because they sold a dime bag. Mm-hmm.
So how'd you like Pacific Rising? Whatever, Pacific Rim. I'm like, dude, we're falling apart. So I don't disagree with you at all. It's just like,
yeah,
I know it's our show. Like, I'm going back to what I said after the show last week, but it's our show. But it's like, people, yeah.
Pacific Rim Uprising. It's funny because it's actually a good segue. It's actually a good segue into that, because I would say this: it wasn't as good as the first movie, but there were parts of it that were better, and there were like parts of it that were worse. It's one of the first movies I can remember in a long time that didn't involve Will Smith, that had like a black character that was like the hero of the story, and he was just treated like a regular person. Like his race didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like the hero, and it wasn't like playing like the sidekick or, you know, the comic relief. Like, I made the comment watching this movie, if this came out like 6-7 years ago, Scott Eastwood and John Boyega's role would have been reversed. Like, Scott Eastwood would have been the hero of the story. And I'm glad it's not, because, one, John Boyega is a star. Like, Star Wars is not used, like, he's not being used right in Star Wars in that role, but it's like, it's Rey's story, not his. But it's like, if anyone had any doubt and they had seen him in other stuff, watch him in this. Like, he's got that it factor. And it's funny when you see him like Scott Eastwood, because I'm like, Scott Eastwood is a handsome man that has the charisma of like a bucket of paint.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a movie star, but he just, like, he looks like if somebody was designing Captain America in like 2018, it would look like Scott Eastwood. He has that like quote unquote all American face. Like, he looks like he should be a model, but it doesn't translate in movies like at all. It only worked because if you put him with somebody with real charisma, like the same thing we saw Fast 8, like you put him around people that are actually like funny and charismatic, he works. You put him by himself and it's like he's just a pretty boy.
Yeah, that's what we talked about when we saw Fast and Furious and also Suicide Squad. Because he was in there and he just blended into the background. The only reason we knew who it was is because, well, that's Clint Eastwood's son. And also, like, internet speculation made it sound like he was going to be somebody, like, you know, palpable, and it was just now just some guy. So, yeah. Which is, I think, kind of the role for him. And obviously don't hate on the guy for it, but he's also got huge shoes to fill. So, you know, there are people out there that are like, well, you know, giving him work because of his dad. It's like, he got it in him. It's like, well, not always.
I mean, no. Like, if his name was Scott Johnson, then it's kind of like, maybe, I would say less, but even so, it's like, there's a lot of mediocre white guys still getting roles, and I always wonder, like, is there anything he can do that Stephen Amell can't do? Like, I'm like, why is Stephen Amell wasting his time on Arrow when you got all these jokers getting these 3 or 4 chances? But anyway, like, that's the thing. The main difference I noticed in the movie is, like, the first one felt like an adult movie with a few young people, and this movie felt like a bunch of young people with a few adults. Like, Idris Elba was missed, and like it's a big difference. Like, that first movie's goofy, but they play it straight. Like, they're not winking to the camera. They don't like make it like they're ashamed of it. They just play like as straightforward as can be with like monsters and aliens. This one just felt like, did you see the second Independence Day?
No. I tried watching that. It was on Cinemax or something. And, no.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Like, Independence Day 1 was a grown-ups trying to, like, save the world. And the sequel was, like, their children trying to do it. And it felt light. Like, it didn't feel gravitas. It's different when you got Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman, like, a bunch of grown-ass men and women, like Vivica Fox. And then you got, you know, Liam Hemsworth and a bunch of other young people that's kind of like, yeah, okay, I don't want to see Will Smith's son. I want to see Will Smith. Like, it just felt light. And this one kind of felt the same way, even though the actors were better. Charlie Day being the villain of the, you know, spoiler alert, Charlie Day being the villain of the movie was definitely surprising, but he makes a good villain. It was funny. You know, that's two scientists from the first one.
Right. They're the only guys from the first one, right?
Yeah. Michael Mori, that's okay. I didn't want to bring her up. I'll bring her up later, but she's from there. But it's like basically those three. Like, everybody else was kind of like gone. They never say what happens to Charlie Hunnam's character. They mention his name, but they don't say what happened to him. But no.
The less said, the better.
Yeah.
Speaking of mediocre white guys.
Yeah. It's funny where they would play around with conventions, because like, you see Charlie Day, you see his partner, you think if anyone would be villains, it'd be his partner, because his partner looks like, you know, Igor. But this one is like, no, we're going to make Charlie Day the villain. We're going to make the other guy kind of the hero of the story, even though he doesn't look like a hero.
Yeah.
So that one's, I kind of noticed. No, the whole thing about Michael Mori is like, the thing I liked about the first one, it was kind of like she had her own story that didn't have anything to do with Charlie Hunnam. Like, she had her own journey. It's like, that was fine. And this one was like, okay, we must have a rule in Hollywood that we can't have two Asian actresses share the same movie. So we got two. So you got to die. Like, she's in there for like 10 minutes. And the whole thing is kind of like, I'm going to die to give motivation to John Boyega. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, this is trash.
I thought we were past doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, the only reason they did that is like, her death was like, we need to move the story around, and we wrote it in a way where we kind of wrote ourselves in the corner, like, because basically, like, she's running the military at this point, and they're trying to decide if kind of like, you know, are we going to replace the pilots with drones? And the other Asian woman, Jin Tian, that's from Great Wall, like, she's basically the villain halfway through the movie, and she becomes the hero the second half of the movie. It's like, okay, we got her, she got all this story, so we can't have the other one, so we gotta do something about the other one. Like, it was too much of this whole, I have a story, and then I don't do anything with it. Like, you know, you got a love triangle that they mention once, don't mention again. You got his partner, this little girl. It's like, sometimes I thought I was watching Transformers. Because, like, the last Transformers story, no, not, it's like the story was the same. We got this plucky girl that learned how to build a robot herself, and she just wants to be a hero, and she's, you know, yada, 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 and we're going to put her with John Boyega and do all this thing. It's like, it was like nine different stories going on at the same time, and not enough fights. Like, when they had fights, the fights were awesome, but they didn't have enough. Like, okay. There is one fight, it was like one main fight that had, like, monsters versus robots. One.
So, you know how I said I was going to tell you why I didn't go see it? That was the exact reason. That you said on, yeah, when you were talking about it on Facebook, and I purposely wasn't asking about the movie, and I saw that, and you said not enough action or something, like not enough fights, something like that. I'm not going to a giant robot versus giant monster movie to hear people talk. That's idiotic. I don't care what they try to squeeze in. The entire hook is they're going to fight a lot. That's why I loved, what was the King Kong movie called? Skull Island.
Because a lot of fights, a lot of action.
Right, they kept it moving. Didn't screw around. The people were there, whatever, but you actually got to see, you know, you got to see what you wanted. And especially now, I mean, you got to give people what they want right off the bat.
I'll say this. Everything you saw in the trailer, that's mostly the majority of the monster fight.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, wait, that's it? Like, I'm realizing I'm, like, almost at the end of the movie. I'm like, that's it? Like, that's my fault. Like, it wasn't like it was a bad movie. It felt like it was just overstuffed with things you didn't want and didn't have enough stuff for what you wanted. It just felt light. That's what it felt like. It felt like a Netflix sequel.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, but it wasn't cheap though. It just felt cheap. And that was the weird thing about it. It's like they spent what $130-150 million on this. It did not feel like it. Yeah, so I'm glad I saw it. I wasn't disappointed I saw it, but it was kind of like it should have been better. And it's one of those things, it's kind of like it's weird making a sequel to a movie that didn't make a lot in the United States to begin with. And one, after I saw the first one, I didn't hear a lot of people saying, like, I want to see a sequel to this. Like, I didn't hear that talk that much. So when the sequel came out, I'm like, okay, I guess. Like, and then they're talking about, you know, it led up to, they had enough stuff for a third one if they want to do it. Depends on how much money they make overseas. I will say this, and before we get off the movie, because I was talking about the whole Asian thing. I'm liking this new thing where I don't know if it's just because they based, like, most of the movie takes place in, like, Asia anyway. It's either Australia, China, Japan. I don't know if that's part of it. Having Asian actors and actresses act in their native language, it, guess what? It works because they can focus on this act instead of, like, trying to do something in the language that's foreign to them. Because, you know, when I talked about the Great Wall, why I didn't like it, and it wasn't really just because Matt Damon was in it. It was because since Matt Damon was in it, they're making all these Chinese actors speak English and muddle around in English and act in English. And it's like, why are these people so boring? That's why. Have them talk Mandarin. Like, they had the main character. She's talking in Mandarin, and Charlie Day is trying to communicate. She's like, okay, enough. Just speak in English because your manners make my ears bleed. But most of the time, she's speaking in her own language. So, like, oh, she's a pretty good actress. And there's, like, it's the same woman that was in Kong Skull Island that was barely had anything to do.
Oh, like her and Dr. Dre or whatever his name is? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, the whole, what was the comment I said, that a lamp, they call it, like, lamp syndrome. Like, if you took the actor out and replaced him with a lamp, would it change the story? And the answer is no, you don't need them in the movie. It's like, yeah, it wasn't the case in this one. And that I said the same thing when that Cloverfield whatever movie on Netflix, it's kind of like they had the Chinese actress speak Mandarin so she can just speak her language, act in her language. Do that more often. Put some like, people are used to subtitles by now. Like, Narcos been a thing for 3 seasons.
I heard everything you said. I'm just annoyed that's all the fighting monster stuff. Like, there's no chance I'm going to see this movie now. I haven't properly bitched at you enough. Because ever since you pointed that out about the Chinese or whoever, and anyone's native tongue, really, every time they do it now, I'm like, if you wouldn't have mentioned anything, I don't think I'd be bothered by it. But oh my god, it's brutal now. Like, cool. This is fun to watch a movie now with this stuff. Especially when you go back and you watch like older movies where it's very prevalent.
Yeah, I didn't. It's the funny thing was I didn't notice it until I saw a movie that didn't do it, and then I couldn't go back. Like, it just ruined stuff for me. It's like, okay, because it was just so simple. Like, they just have, you know what it was? You know what all the jokes about make about Lucha Underground? Like, sexy stars talking to a mag,
yeah.
And neither one of them speak each other's languages, but they make it work and the story works. Like, Sexy Star doesn't, she speaks Spanish. They don't have her there mumbling in English. They don't have Pentagon Jr. trying to talk in English. He speaks Spanish. They have him speaking Spanish, get subtitles. Imagine watching Lucha Underground and they had Pentagon Jr. struggling with English. Would you really be that much of a badass cutting promos when he should, I think, every third word? He said, no. So they don't even bother doing it. It's kind of like, they speak Spanish, put the subtitles out. You know exactly what they're saying. And even if you don't, you get the gist, like, Asuka speaks Japanese all the time. I have no idea what she's saying, but it's kind of like it doesn't make a difference. You get the gist of what she's doing based on her facials and how the story's going. So it's like, if I see other people do it better, and then I see like a movie TV show do it, yeah, I can't go back to the old way where it's like this. It just feels wrong. It just feels off. And yeah.
Speaking of that, I know you and Kevin just did Stunk Randy Audio last night, but since you brought it up, and it's actually been mentioned on the show, I think we mentioned it last week or 2 weeks ago, this broken speech pattern they're doing with the Japanese or Asian wrestlers, it's not just Asuka. Tozawa's doing it, even though they established that he can speak perfectly fine English. I mean, that was the whole gist when they had the Cruiserweight tournament, and then they showed that he and Apollo Crews were really close friends. They're both sitting there talking perfectly fine. I don't understand what's going on. And now they've got Kenta. What the hell is his name? Besides
Itami. Hideo Itami.
Yeah. They've got him doing it. And he didn't really talk too much, so I'm not going to get too upset by that. But I just watched, and I'm just thinking to myself, what's going on? Like, why? What's this change all of a sudden?
Vince. Yeah, and you know the funny thing was, before we get off of that topic, it's even funnier when you see Nakamura yesterday. It's like, wow, he talked like a normal person. And what a damn difference it made. Like, quick wrestling related thing, I had never seen them do this with a foreign wrestler. It's kind of like, he's playing mind games with AJ Styles. Like, yeah. He's the whole time, like, you're too wound up and everything. You should have more confidence in yourself. I didn't bring you down here, you know, for help. I just wanted to show you how I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. you're too upset and too emotional to beat me. And I can beat you whenever I want to, but I'm not going to because I don't need to. And he's saying in a way, like, he's all, like, if, you know, you know what I told Kevin? I'm like, if Roman Reigns cut that promo, Roman Reigns was like an asshole. But Nakamura is doing a way where it's like, you know what, he's making sense and he's so cool. Like, you should be booing Nakamura because he's basically making fun of AJ Styles. Like, you know, you busy clowning around all mad. Like, I'm gonna knock you out on WrestleMania. There's nothing you can do about it. So in the meantime, I'm gonna crack jokes on you.
I haven't listened to guys' show. Did you guys talk about that thing at the end?
Oh yeah, I was laughing my ass off. Right. I'm like, he's speaking AJ Styles look like a damn chump. But it's like, I'm saying, he was the only person that could pull that off, and maybe like him and like Daniel by his prime, the only person that kind of like, I'm gonna be a dickhead but not get booed.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just wondering how that's gonna play out at WrestleMania. But we can do that some other time. Anyways, because there was another thing on SmackDown last night that I'm very curious about that I think is just going to make the match better, and that's Rusev. Because they never followed up on it, so I guess we'll find out next week. But
oh, yeah, Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title.
I mean, they got to, right?
I mean, they already announced it.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. They announced it during SmackDown.
Shit, I totally missed that part. Well, I did take a shower. So, yeah, like I usually do, because...
Oh, yeah, they announced it after he won, like, between commercial breaks, that they added him to the match.
Okay, because I know he said he was going to go talk. He's going to go talk, so... you know. All right, well, good, because Rusev deserved to be on WrestleMania. So, let's see. I'm actually trying to stick to our list. All right, so speaking of people who don't deserve to be at WrestleMania, even though all he has to do is declare for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And no, I'm not going to yell Undertaker, even though I really wanted to. John Cena, Mr. Hollywood now, signed to be in a Deadpool-esque version of Duke Nukem, which Duke Nukem was kind of Deadpool before Deadpool, though.
Yes.
Making fun of pop culture, so... and breaking fourth wall and all that, but... This is yet another movie he's in. It's already known, like, after WrestleMania, he is nowhere to be found. Further proof that The Miz was right last year, but, you know, whatever.
John Cena is going to be a movie star. Like, that's basically the God honest truth. And who would have guessed, like, watching The Marine in 12 rounds, that's kind of like John Cena will one day be a movie star? It's like, nah, I'm thinking John Cena going to be like Triple H, like, realize, yeah, this action thing not going to work. I'm just going to stick to wrestling and buying cars. And, like, now he's going to be Duke Nukem, and he's going to be in that Transformers spinoff movies, like, the main lead. His comedy movie comes out the weekend at WrestleMania. All the reviews I've seen has been like, this is a great movie. He's great in it. Like, this is like 91% of Rotten Tomatoes for a comedy. Like, I'm glad it's kind of like, you got a movie with John Cena and a lot of his fans will want to see it, but it's like, it's the same weekend as WrestleMania. Like, that's, I know the movie studio didn't worry about framing that, like, you know, we're going to come out when we come out. It's just kind of weird. Like, a lot of his, I guess you can see it on a Friday if you want it, but I want to see the movie, but I'm just trying to think when I'm going to see it, because I'm not going to go see it when I'm in New Orleans, so I guess I'll see when I get back. And then, like, you know, Dr. Doolittle, because they're doing another one, Robert Downey Jr., he's one of the voices in that, and it's like, you wake up, it's funny, in hindsight, hearing all that stuff to Mark when he talked about The Rock, like, you know, you went Mr. Hollywood, and I'm here 24/7, I'm still here, and yada, yada, yada. And now he's becoming The Rock. And, like, that's, it's not like I'm doing a movie here, I'm doing a movie there. It's like, no, I'm a movie star. I'm going to show up to do a few matches on Raw, SmackDown, and then, yes, I'm going to film a movie that makes good money, that first I was a character actor, and now I'm the star. And it's going to get to a point where it's going to be like, he's going to be like the number two wrestler / actor behind The Rock. Like, he pushed Batista out the curb at this point.
Well, Batista's kind of selective about what he does, too.
Yeah. So. But, like, Batista's definitely, like, successful. And it's kind of like he picks and chooses what roles he want to do. But Batista's not opening up a movie in a movie, like, in a theater.
Yeah.
Cena is. Like, this, like, Cena is... If he's not there, definitely he will be soon. Like, that's a... I give kudos to him because he is... It's funny where he's how people thought The Rock was going to be. Like, if that makes sense. Like, and it's funny you compare The Rock, John Cena, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because everyone thought that The Rock was going to be Schwarzenegger because, like, he's a big guy and like that. But, like, he didn't really take that role. It's more kind of like he's... What? I don't know, Kurt Russell? That makes sense? Kind of like, he's this big guy that doesn't play like a big guy all the time. Like, he shows vulnerability, he shows humor, stuff like that, and then you realize, oh yeah, The Rock is still 6'5", 260 pounds, and does like that. Cena's doing the whole comedy thing, where it's like, he has an expressive face. Like, Cena knows how to do things with his face to kind of like elevate stuff. And I don't know if it's like part of just wrestling training, because you used to have them play big to, like, get the guy that's, like, in, like, Section 500 or what it is. It doesn't work as much as action. It works in comedy. And that's probably the reason why he's so seems so much natural in comedy. And also it's the fact that he looks the way he looks, and he's a comedic actor.
Well, you saw a train wreck, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw the parts when he was in it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. There's very few parts of that was good. But regardless of what people think, he was really good in that. Like, you know, they made the, of course, he's the big guy, so he's always drinking his protein and doing this. Like, your basic-ass musclehead joke, which, whatever. And then But you see him turn the tables, and it comes out of the blue. Like when he's, you know, he's talking to Amy Schumer about this and this and whatever else, and you really feel for the guy, because, you know, everything's been from her perspective, and she's, you know, she's kind of a piece of shit about the whole thing. This guy, you know, the butt of the joke has feelings, and I'm like, that was really good, right? Like, turn to Elise, and she goes, yeah, actually, that was okay. She hated the movie, so she hates Amy Schumer anyways. I tried getting her to watch when Amy Schumer used to be funny, and she didn't like her back then, so there ain't no chance she's going to like her now. But that was the first time I really perked up, because you watched The Marine, and holy God.
Yeah, it was some rough sledding, like The Marine, 12. It's funny watching 12 round, like, oh yeah, Peter Baelish was the villain of this. Like, seeing some of Cena's stuff, old stuff, and what was the one, The Brothers?
I was thinking of the John Singleton movie. I'm like,
no, not Four Brothers. It was like him. It's like the only thing I remember is like the preview. He's jumping to grab a helicopter. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you nothing about the movie. It was basically like a bunch of WWE movies. It's like, okay, yeah, this movie thing ain't gonna work with Cena. And then all of a sudden, he just started doing comedy movies, and it just started working. And now it's kind of like, oh yeah, John Cena's becoming a thing. Like, people are actually hiring John Cena. I still hadn't seen the movie he did with the sniper movie. It was him and Kick-Ass. Like, I still want to see that.
I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, yeah, see, like, John Cena's doing it. Like, he's going out and, you know, proving that he can do it. And I guess it's kind of like, you know, wrestling practice, you get to practice being an actor, like, you know, every day on the road, and you get a different type of crowd in every town you're in. So if you got, like, natural charisma, yeah. But I think the biggest thing has just been they haven't had a lot of wrestlers who had that. They also had the look. Like, Roddy Piper was kind of, like, the closest. And I always, you know, the one I always wondered about, and it's just kind of like he could only play one role. I'm surprised Ric Flair hadn't did more TV stuff for whatever reason. No, I mean, not now. I'm talking about, like,
no, I know, but it's like, you know, with the whole Me Too thing and whatever else, it's probably the best missed opportunity ever, Ric Flair doing movies.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, back in the day, like, you know, he was a handsome man. He's charismatic as hell. I'm like, he never showed up on an episode of Dallas? Like, at least once or something? Like, yeah. So, anyway, like, kudos to John Cena. And, yeah, be careful about that whole yada, yada, yada. I wouldn't do what you do if I was in your shoes. Because you never know when you're actually in those shoes.
Yeah, well, he backed off of that stuff real quick when he started getting called out on it, too.
I bet he did.
Yeah, and he's like apologizing. He apologized to The Rock and this and this, and it's like, yep. It's because someone tasted, or someone got to the other side and was like, yeah, I totally get this now. So makes absolute sense to me.
Do you think, before we move on from him, do you think him and Rock will ever be in a movie anytime soon?
No. Well, no, not with, was it Zachary... What the hell's the guy's name from Chuck that's playing
Zachary Levi? I'm just talking about in general, because it's kind of like, it's funny where it might be a case where it's kind of like John Cena might be too, unless it's kind of like they're partners or something. I couldn't see it, because it's kind of like this whole thing where you get to a point where you can't really share. Like, the, I always think about, like, Tom Cruise and Denzel Washington. They talk about wanting to do stuff together, but they've never been in the movie, and it's kind of almost like neither one of them can play the sidekick. Like, Tom Cruise can do ensemble stuff, but Tom Cruise ain't nobody sidekick. Like, if I'm gonna be in a movie and it's gonna be stars, like, I gotta be one of. I couldn't see Tom Cruise being a 1A.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, even when he's been in movies with other big stars, the other stars always been 1A. Like, Interview with the Vampire, like, you know, Brad Pitt was in there, but he was like the 1A to Tom Cruise's 1.
Well, that was also, and Brad Pitt wasn't Brad Pitt back then either.
Yeah, but he was like getting there. But yeah, he wasn't there yet. But other than that, it's kind of like, yeah, Tom Cruise never really been with that guy. Like, you know, he might be with Jack Nicholson, but Jack Nicholson is kind of like, I'm the villain of the movie. I'm not like this. I'm not like a. He doesn't do like partner movies. But Tom Cruise didn't do a lot of that. Like, when he was younger, he did stuff with older actors. But once he became, like, I'm Tom Cruise, I'm the man, it's kind of like, you know, like The Flash. It's Tom Cruise and then the guys around me. So I wonder if we get to the point with that with, like, The Rock and John Cena. Like, John Cena gets big enough. Yeah, why he gonna play? Even though it's funny, like, I couldn't see his ego thing playing second fiddle to The Rock, even though The Rock is the damn Rock.
Yeah, and also, I understand the example, but it's a poor one where you're like, it's The Flash and everybody else, until they take episodes and force another character on you that no one really wants around. So, I'll just leave it with that one. So we were mentioning, you know, Deadpool, whatever else. I guess we'll just go to that. We totally missed talking about the trailer last week. And, or did it come out? Did it come out after the show?
I don't know. It may have, but we just didn't have time to get to it because it's kind of fuzzy. And it's funny where it's like two separate Deadpool stories. Like, the trailer is one of them. And that was like the first real trailer. Like, before it was kind of like, you know, a play trailer or whatever that abstract painting nonsense was.
That was Bob Ross.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny. Yeah, it was cute, but it's like, you know, you don't know what the movie's about seeing like 3-4 seconds. And then the second time they had one, you had a few clips here and there. And this one's like a trailer. And it's like, I remember all the jokes people made on the internet saying, oh, yada, 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 Deadpool making fun of reshoots. Now they're going to do reshoots. And then it went from they're doing reshoots to they're doing reshoots because people didn't like the first copy and thought it was going to be a disaster. And the movie come out a month. And I'm like, where is that coming from? Like, why are people saying that? Oh, well, why else would they do reshoots? I'm like, because it's movies. They always do it. Like, what's... I didn't get this whole thing. Like, people making jokes thinking it was going to be a disaster. And then it comes out, no, they just want to add more of Cable and Domino. And then they add that. It's like, oh, it got better test scores than the first Deadpool. And then the jokes went away.
See, I didn't say like, anything about people like saying, like, oh, this is going to be a disaster, whatever. It doesn't surprise me because here's the thing. Everyone wants something successful to fail. So the second one comes out. We all wanted to see the second one, especially when you mentioned it's going to be Cable in it. You're like, we're all like, hell yes, great. And now that Cable's going to be in it, it's like, we'll see. I don't know. The first one was good, but it wasn't that good. I'm like, I was just talking to you about how great it was. Like, not even around when the movie came out. We were talking about it last week. Not you, obviously, but I don't get it, and maybe it's the Ryan Reynolds effect. People got bored of him already. I don't know, and
it's just this whole no. It's partly that, and it's partly a Twitter thing, and I've always got on that. Like, it's a reason that Jordan Face was so popular. People might like success; they rather make fun of failure. Because failure is easy to laugh at. Like, success is hard. Being great is hard. So it's kind of like, I'm always been like a celebrate greatness type thing because how difficult it is. And it's like, well, they don't need celebration. They're great. That's a celebration. Let's make fun of somebody. And it's like, you're going to really make fun of a silver medalist? I've always had that kind of feeling like, oh, somebody lost in the NBA Finals. What a loser. I'm like, they got to the NBA Finals. Like, how is that a loss? I know they didn't win, but, like, imagine you're, like, the third best person on the planet or something, and some jackass on the couch is making fun of you because you're not the best on the whole planet.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. Like, people making fun of, like, professional basketball players, knowing damn well they would school you.
Yeah, you know? Like, they're almost like a different species of human being compared to, like, you. It's the same thing in movies. Like, people, I know... Like, it's easy to make fun of, like, you know, before we talk about Deadpool, like, Superman's mustache and stuff. Because, you know what? I didn't notice it that much when I saw it in a movie theater. When I watched it on Blu-ray, especially 4K, good Lord. I'm like, how did I miss? Like, I'm wondering how I missed it the first time because I saw it on my TV. And I'm like, this is an abomination. Like, I literally jumped back. But then you think about, like, yeah, special effects are hard. Like, you know, and people say, oh, why can't you just be like, look at Marvel? I'm like, one, Marvel got practiced. I'm like, it's only like three people that do it well, like real well. Marvel gets to use all of Disney's people and a lot of like LucasArts people. A lot of them kind of invented a lot of this stuff. James Cameron, same thing. And like Peter Jackson, same thing. Like, you know, the people who tend to be great at it, the people that kind of like invented CGI more or less. other than that, it's kind of like messy looking. So yeah, but like the Deadpool trailer, it's like a lot of stuff going on. I'm guessing Cable is the, you know, I guess quote unquote the villain, but you don't really know. It's, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I, you know, I had the same jokes and everything like that. And two, it's, and it's kind of like people talking about, oh, you know, I don't know about the director. I'm like, it's one of the directors of John Wick. What y'all worry about? like people forgot that. Like, oh yeah, you got a point. Even with all, like, I watched Atomic Blonde, and even with the problem that movie had, the action was definitely a problem. I'm like, it's a different, it's a difference when you get like a comedic director that does action and an action director that does action. Like, when somebody knows what they're doing and they actually get money to do it, it looks a lot better.
So, who's, wait, one of the guys from John Wick is doing Deadpool, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I, knowing, alright, and this is going to be like some hyperbole, of course, but knowing like the supposed passion Ryan Reynolds has for Deadpool, and then also seeing, like, you know, these are the guys that directed John Wick, a movie that I haven't seen anybody like turn their back on. You know, because there's always a contrarian. It was like, well, you know, it was all right. You know, like, well, your Twitter feed back when the movie came out says otherwise. But I can't see this being bad. So watching the trailer, I'm like, all right, all right. And that, here's my thing. She doesn't look like Domino in that trailer. And I guess only because she's not like the color white, like color white of paint. You know, and so, whatever. I mean, it's not a huge thing, but I can already hear the criticism, and as long as it's not for the obvious reasons, I might actually agree. But then I haven't seen the movie, so it could be totally
different. Yeah, and then it's kind of like some stuff translates well to movies, and some stuff don't. Like, yeah, you know, for all the talk of like Hugh Jackman being too tall for Wolverine, you really want somebody 5'2" or 5'3" running around the screen? Like... Like, comic stuff looks great in comics. It don't always look good in movies. And, you know, having somebody in the color of chalk running around would look weird. Like, why they got a mime up there with a gun? It's basically like, Domino looks cool in the comic books. That color would not look, like, she wouldn't look right in a movie. It would just look weird. So I don't really, I don't really mind that too much. Like, I'm not the horse to kind of, like, run away from, you know, the origins. But you can tweak it and make it, like, make sense in the nature of the movie you're doing. Because it's going to be the same thing. Oh, well, Josh Brolin ain't 8'6". He can't be Cable. I'm like, it ain't nobody 8'6". so unless you're going to have them all CGI, and then that comes with his own set of problems. It's like, yeah, you get who he's trying to be. If he gets the nature and the essence of the character, he doesn't have to look exactly like it. Because it's kind of like, even if they look exactly like it, if they don't get time, what does it matter? Look at X-Men Apocalypse. Olivia Munn is basically Psylocke in real life. And it means, like, she's Eurasian. Like, you know, she's half British, half... She's basically the same... Close to the same mix of, like, Asian as the comic character is. She looks... She's probably closest you're going to have to look like her in a comic book. And the costume was appropriate for the comic book. And it didn't make a difference because they had her in there for, like, 5 minutes. Yeah. So it's kind of like, if you're going to get the small stuff right and the big stuff wrong, it don't matter. Get the big stuff right.
Yeah, Domino's not a character I'm attached to, which is why I'm just like, whatever. And honestly, I'm surprised you haven't said that's what you took from it. But so I don't want to come off as complaining about it, because that's not it. It was just, as a visual thing, that's about it. But everything else was pretty fun. I mean, I liked the beginning. I don't know. This is another thing, and it goes like the success stuff. The band Air Supply was hugely popular, all right? They sold a shit ton of records, and now it's used as a comedic device about, can you believe how bad this is? Like, or for the laugh of it, because, well, you know, who listened to this? Well, your parents probably did, and that's why they sold a shit ton of records. So it's just funny how they do that stuff, but then I also find myself going, yeah, Air Supply sucked anyways, so I don't really care.
And so there you go.
Yeah, I've actually seen them in concert. Yep. And yes, I did get laid after that concert.
Well, there you go.
If you answer your own question. So,
Yeah, so like that was a thing, and then the other thing that kind of we hadn't talked about was one, FX first hired and then decided not to go. Like they won't have Donald Glover do a Deadpool animated show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they like, oh well, then they decided not to, and then they came out like, oh, Donald Glover didn't have time, and of course Donald Glover being who he is, like, oh, I ain't got time. Boom, I got a 15-page script, I'm gonna put it on Twitter that I did like 2 days ago. Like, I got time. Let's say y'all didn't want to do it. And it's funny where I was surprised when they first announced anyway, like, okay, an animated R-rated cartoon Deadpool. Like, oh, I mean, yeah, like, I guess a harder version of Archer. And then, oh, Donald Glover's doing it. And it's like, he's talented, and I know he could do it. It just felt like kind of like I wouldn't know. I think it was more like the nature of, like, the whole Marvel-Fox thing. It's like, Marvel's not necessarily have an issue with like R-rated stuff. R-rated cartoons just seeing like, yeah, that's a bridge. I don't know if it was like it was that or what it was. Maybe that was a bridge they didn't want to cross. But that whole thing just seemed kind of weird. Like, it's a one, it's a hot character. Two, Donald Glover's a hot person himself. It's like, why wouldn't you get on that train if you didn't want to do it? And then why would you kind of piss him off when he's responsible for one of your most popular shows on TV anyway with Atlanta? Like, just say we can come to an agreement. Don't make something up.
I'm trying to figure out, when was this supposed to come out? Like, in between Deadpool movies?
It doesn't seem
necessary.
I mean, what's necessary?
Well, it's kind of... No, what I mean by that is, if Deadpool was a PG-13 movie, then fine. And like, no, we want to give it a real treatment, so here, we're going to give it the real, in the cartoon version. But Deadpool itself, I mean, no one complained about that.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily like a compromise to do stuff you couldn't do. I think it's just more, you get more freedom when you do animated because it's animated. So you can really do, you can get closer to like comic stuff. Yeah, you can do closer to the comic stuff that you do in the movie. Same way with like how HBO Spawn, the cartoon, was way better than the movie Spawn. It's like, one, you can do more animated. Two, it's kind of like how you brought up the movie was PG-13 and the cartoon was R-rated. And it's like, okay, it's just weird thing about that. Like, yeah, I used to stay up at HBO at night to watch Spawn, and that was like and that won an Emmy. Like, it was a cartoon, it was a comic cartoon on HBO that was R-rated, won an Emmy, and this is like the 90s, and you haven't, to be honest, seen one since. I was wondering why.
I'm trying to think.
Like R-rated, like this, like on pre, like basically, like, it was not like, you know, Toonami like that. Like Prestige, like the closest, and not even like comic related, the closest one I've seen was like the last season of Samurai Jack got mature all of a sudden. Like, it went from like PG-13 to a hard ass R.
Well, it was but on other Netflix, than that, right? That was not Nickelodeon.
Mm-mm, it was on Cartoon Network.
Oh, it was? Oh, all right.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I always wondered, you know, I know they had some of those, you know, Marvel anime stuff, which was trash. Like, they did Blade, they did Wolverine, X-Men, they were all garbage. It's like, you can't... I mean, I try to watch them, I'm like, this is just... It was just trash. Like, it looked cute, but it didn't fit. And I always wondered, like, how come, you know, Stars or Showtime or somebody, like, you know... Like, comics are the everybody want to do a comic show. Hulu has a comic show. Every network has a comic show. How come none of them, like, you know what, let's do an R-rated cartoon. You know, 30 minutes. Like, that's, you know, do somebody like grown, like, do Blade, do it the right way, or do somebody like Ghost Rider, something like that, you know, or anybody. I'm just wondering why no one has thought of that since Spawn, considering like comics are this hot thing that everybody wants to get into.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out, because I'm just racking my head and nothing's coming up. So yeah,
and I could see if it was a failure, but I'm like, it was. I remember we used to all watch that. Like, it was a popular show. Like, the few people at HBO, like, I had friends come over my house to kind of like watch when I recorded it, and it was like, yeah, it was awesome. And it wasn't like cookie cutter or like dumbed down. Like, it was a hard R, and it felt like an adult cartoon, but not that whole skeevy way. Like, some companies ain't like not this whole, like, if my mom walked in, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable. Like, oh, why is there a tentacle on the screen? Like, why is a rock monster having with a like an 11-year-old ninja girl? Like, yeah, it wasn't none of that going on. But I always wonder why no one's gone to the well considering the one time they did, it actually worked and it was successful, and people like copying success, but for whatever reason, they never copied that again.
Well, not speaking specifically of Spawn, it may be because Todd McFarlane's a pain in the ass. So, anyways, it's like, I don't know what we're supposed to say about the Deadpool trailer other than it looks cool. They do call him X-Force. They show some of the other people. I like how they made fun of the fact that it was derivative, and he goes, "You're damn right." And there you go, big action in this one apparently. And I don't know. I mean, what else is there to say really?
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, pretty basically. Much. Oh, real quick, and we'll just get this out of the way. Did you see the rumors of Aquaman? That the movie's bad. That's why they won't put any previews out. And then Jay Wan came out and was like, "No." He goes, "The reason you're not seeing a trailer is I don't want anyone to see a trailer. And the CGI's not done, so we have one shot to get the trailer right."
Yeah, like, James Wan ain't no dummy. Like, yeah. It's kind of like, I get the whole thing because it's DC, but it's like, sometimes you gotta separate the noise from the details. And we ain't talking about Zack Snyder. We ain't talking about some knucklehead that know what they're doing. James Wan knows what the hell he's doing. Like, they kind of gave him, put it this way, DC gave him carte blanche to pick whoever he wanted to do, and he picked Aquaman. They're like, whatever movie you want, pick it. And you know what? You want to know why? Because the last movie he made was, what, sixth or seventh all-time in gross? Like, Fury 7 made a boatload of money. And it wasn't like, you know, imagine you coming in for Justin Lin is like, okay, your last Fast and Furious movies made $500 million, $600 million, you know, $700 million, and then you do one and it doubles it. Like, a movie that's been going up for like the past few movies, and you basically double what the last one make. So, and like, even if you hadn't seen that, just know, like, all you gotta do is watch the first Saw or watch the Conjuring movies. He knows what he's doing when it comes to directing. And all this we heard from is kind of like, I want to have fun with this. I want to do it the right way. And it's all this pressure. It's kind of like, it's basically him and Patty Jenkins, like, they got to save DC from themselves. So he's not going to just throw something there because somebody told him to. He can always say, like, you know what? You don't like it? Fine, I'll walk. I can find a job whenever I want to do and do something else. I can get a job tomorrow. So kiss my ass. Let me do things my way.
I just want to make sure I brought that up. And that goes back to, well, it goes back to people wanting DC to fail instead of, you know, I don't say you're not supposed to blindly support them. Obviously not. But we don't want bad stuff from DC. We need our comic book stuff to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, or it goes away. So, because there ain't no guarantee that after this Avengers cycle, that everything's gonna be successful. It's gonna go on forever. There's no guarantees. So, the more that comes out that's good, the better. This is like a nerd rallying cry, but whatever.
No, it's the whole thing. It's not like I want it to die so they can do it right. And we always brought up, was like, yeah, y'all forgot the 2 years between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins. And that's Batman, a.k.a. the most popular comic book character alive. They don't get this right. It ain't going to be this whole, we just going to start, you know, we'll start over 2 years. It might be like, we might need to rethink how we're going to do movies, and so Superman can wait. Like, you don't get, it's not good. And especially the whole thing, like, people get sick of, like, reboots anyway. Like, you notice nobody's talking about Fantastic Fours. Like, oh, I don't want to see. It's funny where a comic as popular as that is just so toxic that even if Marvel's like, you know what, I can get the best director alive to do a Fantastic Four. People are like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Let me see Moon Knight. Hey, let me get somebody like six people heard of instead of like one of those popular things alive. Like, that's a thing. And I'm always like, you know, I just want to see good movies. Mm-hmm. I don't like making fun of people. Like, I know it's cool to make fun of DC for messing up. It ain't fun to see, you know, Ben Affleck look miserable because he's doing the best he can and he's getting torpedoed by stuff that has nothing to do with him. Oh, look at him, sad Batman. That's not cool. I want to see Ben Affleck as Batman at least once, not this whole, it makes it to the point where he's only 3 movies and he never get to have a solo Batman movie when they replace him. And this is going to suck because it's like, he wasn't the problem. Henry Cavill's Superman's not the problem. Them directing him as like murder Jesus is the issue.
So I haven't heard that before. Oh boy. So anyways, let's go to something positive with DC. How's that? You know, we talked about Black Panther early. Every episode they've had, we've talked about it, except last week.
What show?
Or the week before. I said Black Lightning.
No, you didn't.
No, did I seriously say Black Panther?
Yes, you did.
God damn, dude. Black Panther's been out for 2 months now? Almost? No, only a month. Wait, no. It came out in February, so yeah. It doesn't matter. So anyways, I really can't believe I did that. But anyways, so Black Lightning did not get talked about 2 weeks ago. I think we actually snuck it in last week. One of the two. This week, a return to form. You know, when you're hitting grand slams and all you do is you hit a few two-run homers, you get kind of spoiled. This week, god damn, that was a good episode. It had good laughs. It had some real intrigue. Some really, like, what the hell moments. I was totally engrossed the entire time. And part of it was comic nerd stuff, because his daughter basically being pure electricity is straight out of Kingdom Come, and that makes me very happy, even though, you know, they're not going to do that stuff. But the humor didn't even seem forced either. That old lady trying to drop stuff on him,
yeah,
that killed me.
I was laughing my ass off because I was like, what is he talking about? They're trying to drop a air conditioner on him. And then soon enough, that's exactly what's happening. She's like, it ain't no offense, I'm just trying to get paid. I got bills.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, she do got a point, but it's like, you wouldn't see that. Like, imagine, like, Arrow, that's happening. Like, he's walking down the street and then somebody's trying to drop a sofa on him. It's like, you a murderer. I'm trying to do this and get the bounce. Like, no, it would just seem like some Looney Tunes stuff. It's what just makes sense. It's like, yeah, you can see a lady doing that, because, like, I mean, I got to pay my phone bill and stuff, and they think Black Lightning is a killer. Yeah, I could see a little old church lady trying to drop a microwave or whatever it was, because she tried twice, and it was funny where the guy's, like, cracking up the whole time, like, you know, I said I stopped, you know, selling drugs. But you got to stop doing them, too. I got a car for this. Yeah. You ain't got a car with me. It's funny how Black Lightning just seems so authentic. Just quote unquote, I sound like a black guy that talks like a black guy, and it doesn't sound like, you know, it doesn't sound like cringy. Like, you can see, like, yo brother, you need to do this, Holmes, and all this stuff. It doesn't sound like fake. It just sounds authentic, and that's just weird seeing that. Like, Black Lightning is like such a real show that it's just weird seeing that. Even though now starting to get to the whole, it's getting a little less and less grounded. Like, the whole stuff with Lala, like, he can see goats. And I'm walking around, like, you know, the whole thing, the gun, like, the dude walked up to him, pulled the trigger twice, and, like, how do you know it was going to jam? I didn't. Like, I'm walking around, like, I already died once I came back, so I'm doing what I want to do. Including ripping somebody's ear off my bare hand, because you're getting fat.
Yeah. Now, there's a guy in DC Comics called the Tattooed Man. And he can, like, his tattoos, he can control his weapons. I don't think that's where they're going, but I can definitely see that. I mean, not use him as a like, he has, like, shapes and whatever else on himself, like snakes, something like that. He can use those as weapons. I can't see him using, like, little lady and that skinny teenage kid as weapons, but
yeah,
it's still plausible, so I'm actually pretty by that one. And then you forgot the best line of that whole thing, where he goes, "I'm trying to make you a better man." Well, I don't want to be one.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't trying to be a better man.
Yes, you do.
He just said he didn't want to be. And you know, I like, everybody's kind of like, they make sense. They do stuff that kind of makes sense. You know, like the villains. Even, like, the whole thing with Green Light and the powers, and, like, how it's almost like a Tuskegee experiment thing, still is creepy. Because it's just, you think about how it happened in real life, and it's like, wow. They take, like, a real life thing, and it's kind of like, it's a reason why black people don't like going to doctors. It's not just the fact because they're old. It's like, yeah, we got bad history with that. So just thinking about that and then seeing how it plays out on the show, like, you know, we're trying to get people superpower, we're trying to get people powers, and the ones that actually have powers, at first they like, you know, oh, they just kill them, and it's kind of like you're using them almost like for farming or whatever they're doing. It's just creepy, and it's like a creepy on a level that you wouldn't see on a CW show. Like, the family stuff is always cool and everything like that, and then even like the conflict where it's kind of like Black Lightning and Gambit, like, you know, he's got beef, but it's kind of like at the end of the day they're still friends, because even if they just, like, he didn't have to save his life, but he kind of did it, you know, because like you can't erase, you know, 30, 40 something years of history as much as you may want to. Yeah. But it's like everybody kind of like understands you got this problem, and I may not agree, but I can work with it. You know, the whole thing with the two sisters, because she's still saying, like, you know, I don't want to, you want to do this stuff. I'm not trying to do it. You know, like, leave me alone. And she's like, no, you ain't going to waste your time, anything like that. I do like the beginning of the episode when they, you know, they're together with their powers. Like, he's using his powers to elevate her so she can jump and do the whole stomp and everything like that. It's kind of like they're like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And it's no like, oh, get out the way, you're not ready. It's like, it's like, okay, go do it. You do this, I do that. And I like that, because, like, they don't need, there's no conflict there. They work that out. So teaming up, like, the show just makes sense. Like, you want to see them working together and teaming up and doing their powers in a cool way. And I'm liking how action's starting to, like, catch up with the drama. Like, because before it was like 80 drama, 20% action. Like, it's still more drama than action, but the action's starting to, like, kind of pick up, and like you don't feel like the action is lagging.
The lack of drama, whatever you want to call it, conflict, that sort of thing. That's why I like the show, because if this, like we said, if this was Arrow or Flash or one of the other ones, it'd be constantly like, no, you're not ready, but I'm ready, no, you're not ready, but I'm ready. And this would go on for 6 episodes, and then, okay, you're ready. It's like, ugh. But at the same time, when something happens in one of the other shows, and the other person immediately becomes as good, if not smarter, speedster than the other one, it doesn't make any sense. It's the right. Mm-hmm. The writing is, it isn't. I understand these are all different shows, but they're all under the same DC Entertainment umbrella. How the hell can they have A-plus writing on one show and then C-plus to C-minus writing on another, and then you got Legends in the middle doing solid B-plus to A work, and then, I mean.
It's a three-part answer. One, because Legends and Black Lightning embrace exactly what they are. Specifically Legends. They kind of like, we are what we are, and we're having fun with it, and we're just going all out. Black Lightning does the same thing. Two, it's this whole, and you brought it up with CML, it's kind of like Arrow had all the great writers, and then like they went to other shows and then replaced them. And it's getting spread out. Like, sooner or later, you get spread thin. Like, it's kind of like, you know, if you just get all your good people leaving to start these other shows and you never replace the good people, then it's like you went from having one great show to 3 average ones. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I know you're filling the time slots, but that's not really doing anybody any favors, because it's kind of like, you know, you see how people look at, like, I don't even count Supergirl, like, how they feel about Legends and Black Lightning compared to how they feel about Flash and Arrow, and it's like, yeah. It's not an accent, like, the main difference is the writing. Like, the writing on Arrow and Flash just wants to drive you up a wall, because it don't make any damn sense. And the other shows, it does make sense. And then the third thing, Black Lightning, like, the people who are behind the show, like a husband-wife thing, they've had practice doing shows. And when you're a minority writer, you can't be average. Like, you have to be good to, like, kind of get your foot in the door, and you got to be good to kind of keep on getting stuff. It's not this whole, I'm going to get 3 or 4 tries and stuff like that. Like, people make fun of, like, the first 2 Fantastic Four movies and the director, like, Tim Story. I bet Josh Trank wished his movie made half as much as the other ones did.
A quarter of what that was made.
It's kind of like you gotta, when you're a minority, you cannot afford to be average and think you're just gonna stay around. So that's just trial by fire. So that's why I like Black Lightning. And it's an awesome show, and it's an adult show, and they have enough comedy and drama stuff. Like, everything matches, everything matters. And it's kind of like, each week I'm kind of like, I can't wait till next week and see where it goes. Yeah. Even though, and think about how good the show is. You haven't seen Survivors in, what, like 3 weeks? Almost?
You haven't seen who? Sorry, you broke up.
Tobias. He wasn't this week, and he wasn't last week.
Yeah, and they even said, well, when Tobias comes back, and I went, hey, wait a second. Yeah, he hasn't been around since that shooting episode. They haven't shown him at all.
So, yeah.
Yes, that took me by surprise that like someone that major, but they're also getting away from the street level stuff and going to, I mean, they have, I guess, Lala be the street level crime, but now you've got the ASA involved. So it's kind of like, well, you can't have them both right now. I guess. I mean, all right, let's put it this way. I trust this show to wrap it all in a bow and then make second season, which they haven't announced if this is back yet, have they?
I mean, it's going
to
be back.
It has to be back.
Yeah, because they haven't like announced their schedule yet, but it's like, yeah, it's going to be back.
Yeah,
like that's going to be back. And, like, that's going to be back. Legend's going to be back. But it's kind of like, yeah, like even like surprise stuff. When the dude was talking to the vice principal and it's like, oh, she's working for them the whole time.
Actually, I meant that I talked all over you on that one on purpose. For once, everybody, if you haven't seen something, spoilers coming. And to me, this was a big one because I sure as shit did not see this one coming.
Yeah, I would think had we been talking about the episode for 10 minutes, they would have known, like, spoiler alert applies.
Well,
but
yeah, but, well, this is a big one.
It was a shock because it's kind of like, wow. Uh-huh. And this is kind of like, it makes sense where it's like, you know, they've always had this whole friendly but not friend type relationship, and you see them, and it's funny when you saw the previously stuff and they show the whole thing like, you know, I'm the vice principal, I'm not just secretary, so you want to do something, do it yourself. I'm like, that's odd to just put that in there, like why did they do that? So you see that there, and then it's kind of like, oh, she was like a spy the whole time. Wow, can't trust these women at all these days. So it's just kind of out the blue, and like the whole thing, like the face she made, like, wait, I've been working with Black Lightning this whole time? And the guy's like, yeah. You didn't know, like, yeah, I knew it was. Because, like, it's funny where the plan, the dude is like, okay, we capture this guy, the lights go off, Gammy shoots these people. I can put two and two together and realize what happened. It was like somebody hit a power switch. Like, they didn't make the guy seem dumb, like, oh, I wonder what happened. It's like, the villains not always win, but they don't plan to be dumb. Like, the villains are competent. They kind of, like, the ones that are supposed to be in charge make sense.
Yeah, hang on a sec. I got to... You can't even hear what I'm saying. I finally found the mute button. Sorry. I was trying to sneeze, but... Anyways, yeah. I don't know the actor's name offhand, but the head of the ASA, does he ever play a good guy?
He doesn't look like it. He just, every time I see him, he's just got one of those faces like, yeah, that's a guy. He's like a corrupt mayor, a corrupt government agent, or just a corrupt something. Like, you know, I'm just privileged personified. Yeah, and it works. Some people just have those faces.
I swear he was in some movie. Hang on, let me find Black. I almost did it and I caught myself. Black Lightning's IMDb. I swear he played like a regular townsfolk guy in a movie. And then at the end, he turned out to be one of the bad guys. And you're like, I remember watching the movie going, wait, should have saw that one coming. Just based off of who he is. I'm trying to find him real quick. Funny aside note, the drug dealer that was talking to Lala, the white guy with the really long hair, he's actually one of the main bad guys on Walking Dead, or like one of the main side bad guys on Walking Dead. And I was like, make that money, my friend. So I'm guessing he may not have long to go.
Yeah.
He was actually on Supergirl as well. The actor's name is Greg Henry.
Yeah, that's from Payback. Yeah, that's, I knew that name's familiar. He was one of the main villains of Payback, the Mel Gibson movie. He was, of course, and guess what? He was a villain in that movie too. Like he looked a lot. It's funny where he looked a lot scummier when he was younger. Like he's kind of, his face kind of mellowed out some because he used to really look like a dirtbag back in the day.
Oh, he was on The Following. I mean, this guy, he's got work. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was Peter's grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Leverage. I mean, he's got a substantial resume. So. To see, and I don't mean like one off here and there. I mean, he's been on a lot of stuff. So, you know, good for him, man. I mean,
yeah.
But he's just like, it's like one of those guys. There's a documentary on Netflix called The Guy from That Thing. And mm-hmm. I get the feeling he may be one of those, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's on 24. That's where I saw him originally
from. Yeah, that Hall of Fame, like, you know, basically that was the Clancy Brown All-Stars. him and Powers Booth basically was kind of like that. And then you have somebody here and there like Michael Ironside, William Fichtner, like people just like, you don't necessarily know who it is. Like, if you didn't have internet, you wouldn't know who it is. Like, I recognize that guy. He was a villain or something. Or I recognize that guy. He was, you know, he was the police sergeant that was always pissed off or something like that. Like, people where they would never be the star. But, like, now you might, you know, if you're lucky, you'll be a star, like, something like Amazon Prime. Like, what's the name? What's that show, Bosch, on Amazon Prime? Like, the main cop in that, tight developer. Yeah, he would have been before, like, I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to be the second heavy. I'm going to be the guy underneath the guy. Like, now you might get lucky and get a show. But before that, it's like, you know, I may be a guy that beats up Mel Gibson twice before he throws me out of a window in the third act.
And that's still a living. It's better than sitting behind a desk all day, that's for sure. So,
you know, everybody, like I say, everybody can be Jai Courtney.
You know what? Anyways, I don't want to hate on people's success. That's what we're trying not to do here. But no, it's the thing with Black Panther. It's a really good movie, but Black Lightning as a TV show zoomed right around that one. And, I guess maybe Black Panther made more of a it resonated with me more than I expected, more than I thought it did. Or I'm just mentally lazy and cannot keep it too straight. So
it's easy to do that, and people make that mistake all the time. So right. It's kind of like they're both black shows. They both start with the word black. They're both popular. So
Black Panther was far more in comic circles. Black Panther was far more famous than Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had less of. Well, I guess if Black Lightning would have actually been used on Super as a kid, maybe our generation would know, but it was a different guy called Black Vulcan. So, dumbass, the stupid reasons behind it. But I just thought it was an A+ show this week, and I don't think it's got too many left either.
No, I don't think so, because Supergirl's coming, like the other shows are coming back soon, so you probably think this will wrap up, because even the season was just shorter than the other ones, which makes sense, so that's fine.
You may not think I'm being serious about. I'm looking forward to Supergirl coming back because
I
was highly enjoying that few episodes after the mid-season finale or whatever. That mm-hmm. I was absolutely enjoying that show, and the fact it came back two episodes and then disappeared was very, very annoying. But yes. We got Legends back out of it, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
That was fun.
But not, it's funny, I feel the same way. And speaking of Legends, so before we talk about the episode, like, one, I'm mad that you didn't see, like you said, you didn't see the pre-next week. And it's a funny story. My wife was watching Legends. Like, she'll watch Legends with me. She's like, oh, that goofy show, that seemed fun. And then all of a sudden, like, I wasn't really paying attention. She's like, why is a gorilla strangling Barack Obama?
That's fucking
And I'm like... And I'm like, what? And I'm rewinding to see what's happening. I'm like, yeah, they got Gorilla Grodd trying to, like, kidnap, a college-age Barack Obama. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, only this show. Like, you know what? Nothing seems weird about that. And then I'm thinking about that, yeah, Barack Obama's being choked out by Gorilla Grodd, and I get to see that next week on a TV show. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can't wait to see that next week. Not how batshit crazy that's – just think about that sentence.
No, everything. I am, yes.
And it's kind of like, oh, that's really happening. I can't wait to see it.
My thing is, like, can you imagine how fun that writer's room's got to be? Because, you know, someone was probably just making a joke. Like, we should have mm-hmm. Gorilla Grodd attack the president. And they're all like, yeah, fuck Trump. And he's like, no. Obviously, we're not going to do that. Let's have him attack Jimmy Carter or something. And someone else is like, why not a young Obama? And the whole room just goes, yeah, that works. Like, that's how I imagine this went. Because, you know, all the writers have to throw their pitch out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've done some goofy stuff on this show.
Yeah, like, they've had to save George Lucas, so yes. Sci-fi would be invented. Tolkien, they've had to save Elvis. Like, they've interacted with people in history. Like, you know, we got to do this so movies will come out and everything. And it's like, okay, so I was going to, I was saving while I want to talk about the episode about like the small part. And you know why it was such a big thing for me? Because the whole thing with Zari and Mick, and like, you know, she's trying to show him how to do the totem, and the whole thing is kind of like she's cranky because she's fasting, and he's like, well, why don't you eat this? Well, why can't you eat pork and stuff? And she's getting annoyed. And then at the end, it's kind of like, you know, I'm fasting so I can, like, remind me, you know, feel closest to, like, my brother and my mom and stuff like that. That's why I do it. And they played like a normal storyline. You know why it affected me so much? Because I cannot remember the last time they had a Muslim character just be a Muslim and just, it's just normal. Like, they just play a story. Not like, you know, she's a terrorist, or she's married to a terrorist or something like that, or she got a fine faith. They just play like a regular story, and it's kind of like, you know, they use a religion thing, like, I'm following this old ass religion so I can feel close to my family. And Mick kind of like, he was being a dick, but he still kind of understood, like, okay, that makes sense. And it's like, you know, the whole thing, like, you know, I'm fasting in Ramadan. Like, damn, a Ramadan on a comic show. And it's not like one of these whole, you know, episode of the week where we gotta talk about tolerance. It wasn't like those, you know, like, I used to, like, a Punky Brewster or one of those episodes, oh, don't get locked in fridges. Like, it wasn't one of those. It was just kind of like, it was part of the story. They told it normally, and they kept it moving. And it's like, I've never seen them just have a Muslim character. They just treated them like a regular human being. Yeah. And I'm just, and I'm watching it. My wife's like, oh, what's the big deal? I was like, I can count it. Like, I don't get to see that. And the fact that they just did it and they didn't beat you over the head with it was like, wow. It's, you know, representation matters. And I'm almost 40 years old, and I can't think of the last time I've ever seen it like that. Not just comic shows, like shows, period. Like, you know, normally it's like, you know, in the 80s, it was the, it's funny where the last time, like the 80s, like, you know, Rambo 3. It's funny thing about that, like the Taliban with the heroes.
Yeah.
It's like, boys, but normally it's kind of like, yeah, like they see, you know, normally it's kind of like Schwarzenegger, Stallone's killing them as the bad guys, and then Homeland, and or they corrupt oil barons, or they're kidnapping, they want to buy Liam Neeson's daughter or something like that. Like, it's always something like negative, or I'm in good ones, I play football just like you, why you kidnap my son type nonsense. And this one, it's just kind of like, you forget the whole reason she joined the team in the first place was because kind of like she got in trouble for being Muslim, and that was like during a time frame where it's like no religions were allowed.
Yeah, I actually did forget that.
Yeah, and that was like, that was the thing, and they said it, but they didn't beat you over the head with it. And you was like, oh, why is Mick this whole thing about, you know, the whole pork thing? Like, what's the big deal? And it's kind of like, we were having a conversation off, you know, off the show, and I'm like, do you know how many times I've gone through that in my life? Like, from non-Muslim friends, it's not like they're being funny. They don't know, and it's kind of like, if you don't know, you don't know. But for me, I'm just like, you know, long explain. I'm like, it's a billion and a half of us. Like, how y'all don't know? It ain't like I worship the religion of like Zelda. I don't pray to the Triforce. Like, and it's funny where for me, I've always assumed, like, you know, I grew up Muslim, I went to a Muslim school, and it's like, it's a lot of us, so I'm like, you know, even if you don't know the details, you kind of heard about us, and like, I lived in Philly where there's a lot of us, but when I moved to North Carolina, I realized, wait, it's a whole lot of people that probably never seen a Muslim before in their life. They have no idea how this works, and it just, it blew my mind as much as blowing other people's mind when I explain stuff to them. And it's kind of like, yeah, I've been where Zari's been, where it's kind of like, how do you not know this? You know, I'm not eating a damn BLT. I'm Muslim. We don't eat pork. And it's like, and he's like, well, what's that about? And I'm thinking, like, you know, Mick's not Einstein, nothing like that, but you would think that would have came up in conversation once or twice. But then you think about it, like, maybe it hasn't, because I've been around plenty of friends where it hasn't been a thing till it was a thing, and it's like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that, and that's what I told you. I mean, when I remember, it was actually on one of the shows we were doing, and It was either before, maybe it was before or after, one of the two. Anyways, and I was talking about Lucky Charms, and you said you didn't eat them. I'm like, all right, that's kind of weird. And you said, well, it has, like the gelatin's made out of pork fat or something? Is that what it was?
Yeah, like it got marshmallows in there, that's got gelatin. That's, you know, a pig product.
Oh, we'll see. Okay, maybe I'm just a dumbass, which, Lakeek, save it. And I had no idea. So I was just like, oh, because there are some people that just don't eat pork out as a personal preference. So that's what I've always thought of. That's what I thought it was with you. I had no idea. And it's funny to hear you say that, and I guess the theme of this show is just going off the rails, but like you said, there's what? Would you say 1.6 billion of you?
Yeah.
Okay, and honestly, in how many are in this country? Because this was predominantly, I was raised Catholic, and then you've got, especially down here, all the Southern Baptists, and then you've got Mormons, all this stuff. Those were the predominant religions. Like I knew more. I know more about Scientology than Islam.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Other than that, you know.
Yeah.
That's so fucking hack. That's terrible.
Hey, we learned it from the Catholics. But anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of like it's a lot.
As long as that's all you learned.
Yeah, it's a lot planet, but it's not a lot here. And I think the biggest disconnect is kind of like if you live in a big city, then you know about it because you've seen plenty. But it's probably if you live somewhere small, like. I remember I lived in North Carolina, and it was like they didn't know pre 9/11. People didn't know jack squat about Islam. It's kind of like
that's still the same, actually.
They never see, but my life. We've had this show before. We won't go into it, but like my life changed a lot for the worse after that happened because people start asking like, "Oh, well, what's going on with us?" Before it's kind of like, "Oh, a Muslim thing. You guys wear those hats, and y'all don't eat pig," and that's all they knew. If they knew that at first, and there's like the whole thing, you guys like America? Like, imagine going to work one day and all of a sudden they looking at you like you gonna put a bomb in the oven. But it's kind of like it's a lot of us, but it's not here. And it's the same with anything else like racism and sexism, where if you don't grow up around people, you don't know about them. If you've never been around, like, and people not, like, if you never, like, it's a lot of times I'm the first Muslim they met and like, oh, you're just like us. Like, yeah, people, like, if you put people together, they might be, you know, a little different, stuff like that. But it's like, it's not like I fly around on a magic carpet. I'm not making a bomb in my house. Like, I drive a damn Audi. Why would I be a suicide bomb? I'm rich.
You're such an asshole.
What kind of stupid shit is that? Like, poor people blow themselves up. Not rich people. Rich people get people to do that. Like, I'm wondering sometimes they stop my car, like, are you insane? You know how much money? You think I'm going to do this away to blow up a bunch of privates and staff sergeants that nobody going to care about a month from now? Like, I got four bathrooms in my house. Life is good. No, I do not have a bomb in my shoe. I'm not blowing up your little raggedy-ass hospital in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Are you out your damn mind? I don't say those things. Yeah, like, I don't say those things out loud. I'm thinking those things, but it's kind of like... Yeah, so, no, back to the episode, that's the beauty of Legends, where they take things, like, they just play it straight, and it's like they get their message across, and they don't beat you over the head with it. Like, they can get preachy when they want to, but this one's kind of like, no, it's a small thing, and it's funny, that show works because everyone seems to get along. Like, they seem to, like, actually like each other and have chemistry and stuff, and we need to talk about the whole thing, like, oh, yeah, Sarah Lance, your girlfriend's a clone.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming. I was, part of me, and it's, I knew they weren't going to do this, but I was like, I hope this isn't what they're going to do. I was expecting it to be like her daughter or some goofy shit, and I'm like, no, Legends isn't going to go like that disturbing. So, like a, was it a old boy sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I'm like, well, maybe she's. She has to die, and then when they said she was an anachronism, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So they don't want to get attached, whatever. Yeah, the clone stuff I did not see coming, and then I thought she was maybe a robot, and then I'm like, oh, I'm mixing this up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually, so which we'll talk about next week. So, yeah, I don't know how they get around this one, except I guess they have to keep trying to pull Rip in somehow, which is fine.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like he knew what was going on, he just didn't tell him. But so it's just kind of like, it makes sense. Like, you know, she figured out what she was. And you know, the funny thing was, at the end of it was like, okay, they got back together because of that. Like that stupid breakup that shouldn't have been a breakup in the first place kind of got settled when it's like, you know, I'm going to accept you who you are, even though you kind of like whatever she is, robot, synthetic being, whatever. And it's like they just work well together. And even like stupid stuff, it kind of like works. So you have that. The stuff with Damian Duck is just kind of like, it's funny, like it's weird because they're not playing him like just a regular old villain. Like, yeah, I guess I would feel conflict. Like, yeah, I got my powers back, but I had to sell my daughter's soul to the devil. That, yeah, I mean, that would kind of bother somebody if you weren't like a true. He's not, you know, he's not dark side. Like, he's not just 100% villain. So yeah, it kind of makes sense that he would feel conflicted about that. Even though it's kind of like seeing him goofy stuff would normally not work, but Neil McDonough just seems to just enjoy himself doing goofy stuff, so I can't be too mad about it.
Yeah, he has very much embraced hamming it up on that show. I mean, he's always had like kind of a snarky sort of character to him, no matter who he plays, like the fast talking, I'm the slickest guy in the room sort of thing, which is cool. I mean, it works. But in this case, yeah, he's really going over the top. And to see him and Ray interact is always kind of fun, because they, you know, they've got Ray just playing the straight deer in the headlights sort of guy sometimes, even though he's a brilliant scientist. And then, oh no, I'm sorry, that was Nate.
Excuse that was Nate. That was Nate. Yeah, that was Ray last week. It's Nate this week.
Well, same haircuts almost. So, but the Ray stuff, I'll stick by that one because that's who I actually was thinking. Nate was actually pretty good in this one. And
the whole fake torture stuff.
Yeah, Nate's kind of grown on me. He wasn't my favorite, and I'm still confused how the steel powers work. Because he steals up kind of like Colossus does whenever he wants, but then if he gets hit too hard, it goes away, and it's like,
you know what it's called? It's called the plot gun.
Nah.
Either the plot gun or the budget cannon. So. Because it's kind of fun, like, you know, you notice you don't see Ray in his suit that much.
It's been a long time.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, like, we spent a lot of money on that crossover episode, and all these people with, you know, all these totem people blowing out wind and fire and water and all this other stuff. And, like, yeah, pour out one for Kuasa going out like a G, and it's like that whole line where it's like, you know, with, the Ark's daughter talking about, you know, oh, we got to protect you from demons. So, like, she's like, I like my demons. So I like being the way I am. So tough shit, you dying.
Well, that's what I'll be curious about next week with when you're talking about budget, because if they're bringing Grodd back, you know, that's not going to be cheap. But I mean, it's only one of him. It's not going to Gorilla City, which I know that's for a Flash movie, but I don't know. You gotta get people on board with this version of Flash to begin with, so.
It's funny where Legends get to do the stuff that Flash should be able to do but can't. It's like Legends get to do the fun and weird stuff, and it's kind of like, you know where the season's going, but you still don't know like how it's going to end. But you want to find out and see. Like, that's an awesome part about it.
Well, there's, and Legends actually, this is one of my biggest criticisms of Flash, besides other things, but they have this giant villain. The thing, and they're constantly going and doing other stuff. They're constantly getting distracted by something else. What's her name? Iris suddenly becomes the Flash for an episode for no reason whatsoever. And then, oh, now we got to get back to the Thinker. And then in the middle, and this is bottom for a while. It's, I guess, why my brain went back to this. The end of that episode was atrocious. When they're like, well, I can put your powers back if you want. I'm like, yeah, put them back. How is this even a duration? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And he's like, you know, if you want to keep them, I'm going, what? What are we doing? And then at the end of the show, Iris goes, you know, I'm not supposed to be a hero. And Barry looks at her and goes, well, you know, if you didn't want to give the powers back, I would have been okay with that. And I am just drop-jawed. Like, who the fuck wrote this? What motivation possibly would this, in any sort of reality, ever actually be a consideration? You would actually, the main guy who's supposed to be taking out this Thinker guy, suddenly, well, you know, I'm going to be a bigger man, and, you know, you got the powers now. That's not how it works. If I got a basketball and someone takes it from me, or, you know, gets taken away from me, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, you know, it's your basketball now, so if you want to keep it, it's okay. No! This is stupid! Anyways, that's why Flash can't do anything right, because... And I'm glad Legends gets to deal with Grodd and the fun stuff. If they bring back King Shark over there, I'd be very happy about that, too. Anyways, fucking Flash.
I'm glad you got the system, because it seems like that's been building for like a month.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can tell, yeah. But even like how the start of the season is kind of like, you know, you just felt a certain way about the Flash. It's been bubbling and stuff like that. And it's just funny, like, I'm glad Wally isn't, he's on Legends, so he gets to have fun and not be stuck on the Flash. And you know the funny thing? I was watching, what was it, Cinemax? He was in some movie that was in there. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, he was like the star of the movie. It's like he was playing like some pop star that was getting stalked by a woman. And I made the joke, it's like, he has weird hair no matter what he's doing. Like, at first I thought it was just like, okay, it's Flash and Legends. I'm like, why has he got a haircut like he's one of the four tops?
Yeah.
Like, and but then I'm watching the movie, his hair is blonde. He's got like a short blonde, like, you know, like, I'm like, does he get, he go the same hairstyle as Jaden Smith goes to? Like, what's, I mean, if it work, it work. I just find it funny because people make, like, Cam always makes jokes about Wally's hairstyles. I'm like, yeah, why is this straight out the 1940s? Like, he's about to go to jail and become a Muslim, like Malcolm X. Like, why is he wearing a, like, why is Wally wearing a conch in 2018?
I know the reason why, all jokes aside, because Wally has that hair.
Yes.
And it's like, well, the...
Bah, bah, boom.
The black version of the of Wally doesn't. The white version of Wally does. So it's like they're trying to amalgamate the two. And I'm like, no, just let them be separate. It's okay. You introduced another guy who apparently is kind of popular, is still around. And the other guy who is popular is now back. And everyone's pretty happy with both of them. So... Anyways, we've been going on a while, because, like, usually we go off on the sides. So let's get the hell out of here, since we've solved the world's problems when it comes to student loans, what Muslims eat, don't eat, and how they act, and why the Flash is bad. And there we go. So social media, Stunt Granny and everything, iTunes, all that stuff. Look for Stunt Granny where we watch stuff. You'll find the show. Thanks for listening, and I will let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and I am too rich to blow you white people, so relax. We are out.